Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2019-2020 preseason coverage. I feel like I've said that four times already tonight.
Right. Well, if you look up, you'll see why.
Up there, the American, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, down below, I don't know, last week's podcasts, a couple interviews.
Yeah, a lot of other stuff. If this is the fourth podcast you've listened to, or even if it's just the second, and the first one you listened to was the Mountain West, I gotta ask why you're back after the joke Stan Stalica told to end that one.
We're not gonna repeat it though. You gotta go watch it to find out what the joke was. But I'm Chad Sherwood. We got John Stalica below me, David Griggs, and John Tytel from the other side there. This is our West Coast Conference preview show. And when I talk West Coast Conference in the past, though, about 50 years, there's only been one team to start off with. And David, of course, that's the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Yeah. You know, was anybody else kind of surprised? Real big curveball from Media Day this year. Gonzaga, the preseason favorites.
And you know what? I mean, most of the team from last year gone.
Yeah.
Mark Few does not rebuild. Mark Few just reloads. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, he does. And if you look, most of the last year's team is gone. And, you know, not only was it just last year's team, I mean, this team has been one of the three or four best in the nation over the last 5 years. I think they've been to four Sweet 16s. They went beyond the Sweet 16 three times and were national runners-up once, won in an amazing amount of games. And they were almost never outside the top 10, much less outside the top 25. Were they ever outside the top 25 in the last 5 years? Oh. I mean, you're talking about very, very elite company, if there's any company at all. Now, a lot of that's gone. I don't think they're Final Four good the way that we thought they might be the last 2 years, but I definitely think they're protected seed good.
I would probably say the last 4 years, because 5 years ago, we forget, Gonzaga was actually a bubble-ish team that year and actually did need to win the West Coast Conference just to get into the field, which
you're right.
They'd end up doing and went to the Sweet 16.
And kind of blew it in the Sweet 16, yeah.
Well, Tytel, he said they're not Final Four good, but I've seen preseason rankings has this as a top 10 team, despite losing four double-digit scores off of last year's roster. Well, what do you think about the Zags?
Sounds like the Nevada problem. When you lose all that talent, can you reload immediately? Bringing in transfers like Ryan Woolridge and Admon Gilder will help a lot. Having a healthy Killian Tilly will help a whole lot. He's the only person from the Zags on the conference preseason all-conference team, which is a little surprising because usually you think Zags own this conference. They're going to have like 3 out of the 10. Tilly's the only one, so it's going to be a team effort this year. We'll see if you can do it again. All he does is win West Coast Conference regular season titles and make the tournament. I don't see them as a Final Four team only because they lost so much. I think the Sweet 16 is perfectly reasonable.
Well, they're number 8 in the preseason poll in the AP. That says you should be an Elite 8 team, doesn't it?
You believe every poll you read? Come on.
I'm just throwing it out there. Somebody thinks this team's pretty good. Stalica, though, beyond them, for the last 300 years, I think St. Mary's has been the second best team. Is that still true this year?
This year it's going to be, and they're also going to be in the top 25 in both the AP and the coaches poll. They're going to have the most experience coming back with Jordan Ford, Malik Fitz, and Tanner Krebs, among others. And as we had teased in the American podcast, Logan Johnson has actually been approved to transfer immediately from Cincinnati, so he will be eligible as a sophomore this year for the Gaels. And unlike years past, the Gaels actually are going to be taking a bunch of shots out of conference with the games against Wisconsin on a neutral court.
How about
Utah
that?
State at
that's
home.
The first night, isn't it?
Yep. But
yeah, they that's also, a big one.
And also play Dayton, Arizona State, and we'll still give them credit for Nevada this year.
Yeah, David, that's been our biggest knock on the Gaels in recent years, and why they've missed some tournaments is the scheduling. Did they finally fix it this year?
Yeah, they did, and you wonder, is this an anomaly, or did they finally get the message? And you're hoping it's the latter. But, yeah, they had some really good teams that just at the end of the day there was nothing on their resume and they've been left out, even though had they played better teams, they were certainly capable of beating better teams than the one that they've played. than the ones that they played, I'm sorry. And this year they're finally doing it. You want to see that. And they're good enough to win some of those games.
But even last year they didn't get in by much because they were an 11th seed and they were the only team to lose to a Big East team in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they also beat Gonzaga and were still in 11, which indicates they may not have been in without it.
Right, yeah, they got the automatic bid last year by beating Gonzaga in the finals of the West Coast Conference tournament. But Tytel, is this a two-bid West Coast Conference, or is there a third team that's going to be right up there with these with the other two?
There is a third team that is going to be, if not right up there, at least not too far below, and that is the Cougars from BYU. So you got Mark Pope starting his very first year there after coming over from Utah Valley. And this is a guy who knows how to win. He won a title with Kentucky as the captain under Coach Calipari in 96. He's got a great backcourt. TJ Hawes, you might have heard of his brother Tyler, the all-time leading scorer in school history. And his dad Marty, who was an all-conference player back in the day at BYU. You got Jake Toulson, the defending conference player of the year. The X factor is the combination of a tough non-conference schedule early on with a suspension. So let's start with the schedule. Houston, UCLA, Kansas, Utah, Nevada. Very difficult. I think it would have been even worse last year. I think Houston and Nevada will fall back a little to earth. Still not sure what UCLA is going to be like, but Kansas and Utah should be legit. And the X factor is the suspension of Yoeli Childs, their big man who thought about going to the draft, and unfortunately he did it the wrong way. So what Yoeli did was sign with an agent, took some money from the guy, and filed the paperwork with the NBA. Unfortunately, he did it in exactly the wrong order, which is why he's going to miss the first 9 games this season under suspension. I think that it will not be a huge blow. They might lose 1 or 2 non-conference games because he's out of the lineup. But hopefully he'll come back better than ever for conference play. I don't know if they can beat the Zags. I think they can play with St. Mary's. But if they can get a couple of those non-conference big wins, and then Yoeli can help them do some major damage in the conference, I can see this team squeaking into the tourney.
Well, yeah, the good news for Childs is...
I was just going to mention the big games of that 9-game suspension, the game at Houston and the Maui Invitational Tournament. But go ahead.
But the very first game that he'll be eligible will be the Holy War at Utah.
Yeah, bitter, bitter rivalry.
David, this BYU team moved over to the West Coast Conference. You know, they're moving out of the Mountain West, taking what was considered kind of a step down here, allegedly. I don't know if that's quite true. But in all the time here, they've not won a regular season or a conference tournament title yet. Is this almost, you know, time for BYU to do something here if this was the league that they were going to go and be one of the dominant forces in?
Maybe, but I don't know what made them think that they would just walk into this league and dominate it. While top to bottom, it's not as good as the Mountain West. That may no longer be true, A, and B, top it was because Gonzaga was here.
Let's look a little beyond these top three. Is there anybody else that, David, that you see actually contending for an NCAA tournament bid or a top three finish at least in this league beyond Gonzaga, well, the St. Mary's, BYU?
Okay, I'm not going to go as far as an NCAA tournament bid, but maybe solid NIT and maybe hovering around the bubble. There was 3 more teams last year that were 20-game winners. One was LMU. LMU, remember, they got off to that great start, beat Georgetown, was 11-1. They tapered off down the stretch, but they've got a lot of pieces back, and they could be one of those kind of sleepers this year. San Francisco, you might recall, did they beat Buffalo or not? But they had a great start to the year, and we were talking about them getting in at large if they were able to get a win over Gonzaga at some point. They didn't, but they still had a fantastic year for them, a big step forward.
But they did lose their head coach, who's now at Washington State.
And they lost some players. But, again, I think at least the culture may have changed there. San Diego, another 20-win team from a year ago.
But to get back to San Francisco, they did not beat Buffalo.
They lost to Buffalo.
They did beat St. Mary's at home back in January, where there was starting to get some momentum build up, and they end up finishing around 500 in the conference.
Yeah, they played Buffalo over in Ireland at like 10 a.m., which was 7 a.m. back in San Francisco, I think. So,
Maybe out of Pepperdine with Lorenzo Romar, who's starting to do some pretty decent recruiting, at least, even if he doesn't know what defense means to coach it. But
if he can bring in a couple more Edwards, he might have a chance. He's got Cameron and Kessler, the brothers, who, when healthy, are a nice duo. I just think that there's not enough there. Luckily, he plays in Malibu, so he's got not as many problems as the rest of us. I am excited to go to the Wooden Legacy next month to see the Waves in person, as well as the Quakers and the Wildcats. It's going to be quite a Thanksgiving in the Tytel household of one who's going to be in Anaheim for Thanksgiving.
David, how about Santa Clara?
How about him?
Well, Herb Sendek there, yeah. and got a little bit of talent coming back from last year. They were 16-15.
Yeah, and I think that had been their first winning season in a while, and with three starters back, I think that they can continue to build on that. I don't know if they're going to build themselves up to being an NIT team just yet, but yeah, I think they're going in the right direction. To your point.
He hasn't quite perfected the art of falling backwards like Mike Davis has yet, but give him a couple more years.
Tytel, you know this question is coming your way. As a Damon Stoudemire fan, is this his final season at Pacific?
If he's lucky, he'll make it through the year. He's in year number four. He worked for Sean at Arizona. He worked for Josh Pastner in Memphis. He played 13 years in the NBA. I don't think he's going to make it 13 years on the sideline in college.
And Salika, maybe even quicker out than Stoudemire. How about Terry Porter in Portland? Tons of trouble there.
Well, Portland has been in tons of trouble, probably going back 20, 30 years. So I'm not seeing anything on the horizon for the Pilots this year.
Yeah, we were talking a few years ago about bringing two names in, like Porter and Stoudemire, to this conference and what it would do for it, David. I think that it's done nothing for it. At least
it
has.
Yeah.
I guess on that note, let me run through each of you for any of their final thoughts on the West Coast Conference and tell me how many bids you think we're going to get. Salika, let me start with you.
I'm just going to be looking at two bids this year, and that's going to be Gonzaga and St. Mary's. No more, no less.
Tytel?
I will set it at 2.5 and take the over. I really think BYU can put together something special. You know I hate first-year coaches, because I think it really takes time to gel with a team and come together and unity and all that stuff. But I think that he's got in a special situation. And you have to remember with BYU, even their young guys are veterans because they often take the two-year missions. As far as a quick final thought, I'm going to go with a little coach at San Francisco called Todd Golden. My apologies, coach. Very first year. About 15 years ago, he was winning a high school state championship in the great city of Phoenix, Arizona. And then he was, about 5 years ago, an assistant at a little Ivy League school called Columbia. The kid, and I say kid because he's 34 years old, is now a freaking head coach in Division I basketball. I'm happy for him, and I hope that he represents Phoenix very well in San Fran.
David, you want to finish us off?
I'm going with two safely inside the bubble and probably in the top half of the bracket with the Zags and the Gales, and I've got BYU on the bubble.
Anything else, David?
No.
Are you sure? You don't want to talk about somebody? Or?
Well, I mean, I was going to try I was going to try and get our good friend from LaSalle, Mountain McGillivray, but I can't pronounce his name, and I don't know how to reference him here, but there he is. Mountain McGillivray, everyone.
I want to thank everyone for joining us for all these podcasts. If suffering, then so more much, likely.
Watch something else.
If you didn't watch them already, American, A10, Mountain West are all up there. Down below, who knows? We will be back in a couple days. We're going to be recording a 22 conference podcast with our under the radar conferences. But
yeah, top 10 and everything.
It will not be 300 hours long, thankfully. But right. On behalf of John Salika, David Griggs, John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.